Let me just say this. In the book of Luke, chapter number 6, verse number 38, it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom." I just want to say this. Please, whatever you do, in most of the churches, not every one of them, but in most of the churches that I've been in this year, in mission conferences, they have exceeded their mission giving. And folks, listen, I believe Landmark Baptist Church, if every person will take that green card and fill it out, I believe our pastor will be able to announce that tonight we've gone past the goal that we had last year. You've heard me say this, I'm sure, but you know, there's three ways of giving. First is tithing. Now that belongs to God. A tithe does not even belong to you. It belongs to God. It's almost like this. God said, "Adam, there's 10 trees. One of them's mine. You leave it alone. Those other 9 you can have." That's exactly what he did. But you know, Adam said, "No, I want God's tree too." And folks, I want you to know your tithe goes to your church. And if you don't, you're a crook. And I'd rather, listen, and believe me, God knows. You might get away with robbing a bank. You might get away with it. But you don't get away with robbing God. The other thing is an offering. The pastor gets up sometime and he says, "Now we need an offering." You look in your wallet. You say, "Well, I got a couple dollars here." And so you put the offering in. That's an offering. But faith promise is when you look in your offering, you look in your wallet, you say, "I don't have anything. Lord, what are you going to give me so that I can..." You see, now let me tell you what, let me tell you this. And this, I don't tell you this to be bragging. I'm telling you this just trying to help. My wife and I live on our Social Security. She gets a little retirement from the county, state, and we live on that. Your pastor was one of the first persons that ever said, "Scotty, we want to help you." And the money that comes in from churches to help us is for my traveling expenses, running around the country, trying to help these fellows get money. We do not use money that's coming in. It goes right into the office. You send it right into the office, and then I have to get receipts and turn it in to be reimbursed out of our Social Security. But you know something? Every year we increase faith promise. Every year. And if you give what you gave last year, you're living by sight. And the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Is that right? Now, when the Bible comes along and says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you," do you believe God's word? Amen. You believe it? You really believe it? Amen. Nod your head. Okay? He said, "Not only I give it to you, I'm going to give it to you pressed down." Remember those old bushel baskets, you gray-headed folks like me? Remember you go in the store and they had stuff in the bushel basket, and then they take it and shake it down. That's what the Bible says he's going to do. He's going to shake it down, press it down, and then if you keep giving, you know what he's going to do? He's going to run it over. Now, you believe the Bible? My Bible says you can't outgive God. Please, please, Landmark, let's everyone get involved in faith giving, okay? All right, the first one we're going to have here today is Noel. Noel, I want you to come, and I want you to take about 10 minutes. We're going to take about 10 minutes apiece, and then we're going to turn it over and let the pastor have a couple of minutes. Will you do that? All right, tell our people what you're doing, okay?
Yes, sir. Good morning. I'm Pastor Noel Idillon from the Philippines, and I'm glad that God given me opportunity to visit this blessed country, because this country has a big part in my Christian life and in the part of the history of the Philippines. I was saved when I was 13 years old. I can say that first to second degrees of my relatives and cousins are all Christians and Baptists. All I thought, I am already saved. But one day, in our church, during our anniversary, one American visiting missionaries as a guest speaker, part of his message that he says that salvation cannot be obtained by having a Christian home. So I was convicted because I thought I am already saved. That conviction keeps on ringing on my heart. And so it happened that my mom one day, every night, she tells us a story before we go to bed. And I cannot bear that conviction anymore. And I asked my mom how to be saved. So she opened the Bible and tell the story of Jesus. And she led me to the Lord, to accept the Lord as my own Lord and personal Savior. And that night, I had peace in my heart. And I was happy. And the following month, I was baptized in the church. And after, I promised the Lord to serve Him. And as I grew up, I went to Bible school, Bible seminary in Manila. And after 3 years of study, the Lord burdened my heart to start a work and called me in the northeast of the Philippines, where there is a town, there is no Baptist. I conduct a Bible studies in our neighbor, rain or shine, for 8 months. After 8 months, I gathered them, those who accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and started our first Sunday worship. And we, praise the Lord, we have an attendance of 33. And after a year, we organized that work into a church. And now the church is going on. As of now, we have what we call Bible Institute or Bible School. We're training men. In fact, they are the one who are taking care of the church. When I'm still here, I'm here, and it's good for them because they are forced to preach because I am not there. So that's a good training for them. And we have a principle in our church that what we call ripples principle. When you throw a stone in a still water, it creates a series of wave around that stone, and that was we called influence. That wherever God puts you, you should have influence around you. Your neighbor should know that you are saved, you are a Christian. And so that's what we are doing. We are trying to plant, I mean, to have every barangays. I mean, when I say barangays in our town, we have 24 barangays. The smallest part of our community is barangay. Our goal is to plant every barangay, to have a Christian family that will influence them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And our town as well should have influence around neighboring town. And our goal is to plant churches around our neighboring town. So please pray for us. Philippines has 91 million people who need the Lord Jesus Christ. Every calamity is coming on our ways. Floods, storm, earthquake, Mount Pinatubo erupted, and people are dying without the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God that this America has been used by God to liberate us during World War II. We are tandem together. We have a history in our church, in our country, what we call the Death March, the American soldiers and the Filipino soldiers marching from Bataan to Tarlac. And when they cannot bear that march anymore, the Japanese soldiers will strap to death that soldiers. And General Douglas MacArthur promised to the Filipino people, "I shall return." And he did. And I thank God for that. And I remember what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not told you I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again." If General Douglas MacArthur fulfilled his promise, how much more are the Lord Jesus Christ? He will come again. So before he come, I would like to illustrate to you the cycle of the gospel that we have. I have here a small cloth, red. They speak the blood of Jesus Christ. They speak the story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now people are pretending. People are empty. They are pretending with religion. They are pretending through vices and many more. But there is something in them that only Jesus can satisfy.
Yes.
And our job as a Christian is to share this gospel to the lost soul.
Yes.
Our job is to put that gospel in that empty soul of unsaved people, this gospel to their hand. And God's job is to turn that gospel into their heart. Amen?
Amen.
If God will do that, where is that gospel now? In their heart.
Yes, but
in their heart. And that gospel experience, he has something now to share to others who are lost.
Amen.
Let's keep on doing God's work. Man can perform magic, but only God can perform miracles in the life of people.
Amen.
God bless you, and thank you.
Amen. I'll tell you another thing that he didn't mention, but you know, Spain controlled Philippines for 400 years. That's why 86% of them are Catholic. But praise God, brother, the Baptists are the fastest growing bunch of Christians over there. And I don't call Catholics Christians if they believe what they say they believe. But for 400 years, and we took over a little over 100 years ago, we run the Spaniards out. And of course, that's why most of them speak English. They go from one dialect to the other. And if they don't understand the dialect, they talk to them in English. That's why most of them want a King James Bible. Isn't that great? All right. Okay, I want you to come. Brother, listen, you come up here, tell us your name. But first, I want you to sing, okay? I got Miss Joanne up there. And now, the reason I've asked you to sing is my daughter called me and told me you could sing, okay? Now, he told me he can't. But my daughter, I believe my daughter, okay? All right. I want you to...
I told him I am not really a singer. In my church, they will force me to sing when it's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
And I'm privileged because I had my 55th birthday last November 25 here in your country, and the first time that I was here with your Thanksgiving. It's not actually the voice, but it is the message of the song. We usually boast of ourselves when we accomplish many big things. But when we are discouraged, we complain about many things in our God. This is a song that I really love since I became a senior. Now, when I learned to sing a little, and I really love the song. It's a very, very old song entitled, Follow Me. I travel down a lonely road that no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me. And then I heard him say so tenderly. My feet were also weary upon the country road. The cross became so heavy, I felt beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. Just left your cross and follow close to me. I work so hard for Jesus, I often boast and say,
I'll sacrifice a lot of things to walk the narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune, I'm worth a lot to thee. And then I heard him gently say to me, I left the throne of glory, I counted it but loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon the cruel cross, but now we'll make the journey with your hand safe in mine. So left your cross and follow close to me.
The last verse is my commitment of my life.
Oh Jesus, if I die upon a foreign field someday, 'twould be no more than love demands, no less I could repay. No greater love but mortal man than for a friend to die. These are the words he gently spoke to me. If just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. But if by death so living they can thy holy see, I'll take my cross and follow close to thee.
Thank you.
There are two great things. Sorry. There are two great things that the Christian people, the Baptist people, will never forget of what you have done. First, you have liberated us. When he said about MacArthur, he landed in the land of Leyte, where I was born. In 1956, an American missionary came to that island, a small island of Leyte. And in 1958, my mother got saved. I was 4 years old then. Growing up in a Sunday school, I learned how to have memory verses. I can just remember when I got my first Bible, and I love that Bible very much, the old and new that is just as big as this. You cannot have the Bible unless you do not memorize 100 verses in front of the church. Though it is not in one setting, we could go there Sunday night, 25 verses, and another 25, and another 25, and another 25, and got the Bible. So I learned many Bible stories, and in 1963, I can remember I was crying the other side of our church, and the Lord has convicted me when I received the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise the Lord from that time on. I had that assurance that when I die, I will go to heaven. But one of our mission conferences like this in 1975, the Lord moved my heart. I was even a fourth year high school. When I stopped my fourth year high school and entered Bible college in Cebu City, a nearby city of where I was born, under Reverend Bob Hughes. He's one of my mentors. He did a lot of great things in our country. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to graduate in that college because my pastor, American pastor, asked me back to work with him because our church, you know, something, there were problems and our pianist were not there anymore. So I learned a little playing of piano and a little playing of accordion. So he used me in several years there, and he transferred to Manila, and he brought me along with them. And so there I continued my study, and I graduated also under the ministry of another missionary. So I have been with so many missionaries. That's why I am so grateful and thankful for bringing the gospel to our country. You have done a lot of great things in bringing the gospel to our country. And because of that, passing the baton to us, we are privileged also of sending more pastors and missionaries throughout Asia and even all over the world. Even in our group alone, we have hundreds of them that I now have started in Vietnam. I have been to Vietnam and I have been to Cambodia. There are many Baptist Bible churches now there. And it's because you had passed the baton to us, and we are privileged, because I believe we the Filipino, not to be proud of, we can easily adopt the culture of one country, and we can easily learn their language. As what Brother Scotty said, he cannot sleep where we can sleep. You will not sit where we can sit. He will not eat what we can eat. But praise the Lord that God has given us that kind of culture that we can adopt wherever we can be. The most important is that we can share the gospel to them, bring them to the Lord. And that is our duty, our responsibility now. That's why I'm very happy and very proud of every American, Christian American, who had the heart, a big heart, of sending more missionaries and helping. And when we had been together with these helps, it has given us more privilege of training more men and women. We have our Bible college. I am the dean of our college, and we have several men who have graduated from our college, and they have started churches. And we are still have that vision to reach more souls by our local members of our churches. Just the other day, one of the pastors that we are together in this SOS program, it is saving our society, had texted me to pray for having an evangelistic meeting in front of the municipal building. And he texted me again for the great result and said, thank you for the prayers. There were 4,000 people that were there, and hundreds of them have received the Lord Jesus Christ. And so excited that the Lord has enabled us as well. The first missionary that went to Indonesia, a Filipino missionary, went back because of the failure. We were not ready to support one missionary. But as the years went by, the Lord has blessed us with also the help of all your prayers and the monetary that you are giving to us. It enabled us to do now of hundreds of missionaries that are all over the world that we can support, even a little monetary. Each church, even a mission church, a little church, a small church in our country, are privileged. We tell them, be a part of missions. Give what you can give, because this is the heart of our God. This is the mission of our God. He went back to heaven and telling us to be a faithful stewards of the Lord. And I know that there are recessions and recessions in our country. It's been recession all the time. My church is along the bay. A week after when I arrived, typhoons after typhoons hit our country. My church now is under the flood. The water is up to here. They could not go to our church building. They find a way. They gathered to it, and then they made just a bamboo bridge that they can go through. It, you know, it swings like that while they were going. I know you cannot do that. But I praise God. They were telling me, we're okay here. And then it subsided a little, and then a hard typhoon hit again. After a month, the water went back again. But they do not stop coming to our church. It will subside. It will subside about 4 to 6 months. But I am excited to go home because my people are still there preaching the word of God. They have their soul winning. They go out every street. We can knock doors. We can have Bible study in every home. It's a different in our country. We can just knock doors and we can just, even the unbelievers will open their homes, have Bible studies, and that is what we are working, what we are doing in our country. And most of all, we are also have the part of sharing the gospel, even a little monetary that we can help, because we are poor. Really, we are poor. Somebody asked me yesterday there, are you eating like this? Do you have like this? After you know, and everything. We said, no. If a money come in, then we will buy a little. We will divide it to our family. But it's not what matters all. What matters is our faithfulness to the Lord in looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, because we have a vision, reaching the people out there dying without Christ. So help us pray, and we can be partners together. I know the Lord is coming. It's very near. I do not know when, but for sure he is coming. One day the trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive together will be caught up, and we will be with the Lord forever and forever. But while we are waiting for the coming of the Lord, let's be faithful servants of the Lord, soul winning. People are waiting for us. Thank you very much.
Tell you what, I hope you could get it all. I've been over to the Philippines. They are kind and nice people, and they are serious about loving God and serving God. And you could pick that up. They've just been through these typhoons and all the flooding, and you heard his attitude right there. They keep right on doing the job anyway. And what a blessing. They are not just reaching their own people. They're sending missionaries from their churches. And like he said, they can get into places and eat the food and other things that you and I'd have a hard time with, and carry the message. That's what's important. And they, contrary to a lot of other countries you go to today, the Philippines still loves America. And you go to a lot of places where they don't. And they love us for liberating them from the Japanese in World War II. And you heard the preacher speak of MacArthur. And you go over there and everywhere there's evidence, museums and pictures in the lobbies of hotels and other things like that, that tell you they appreciate America. And biggest thing is MacArthur said that we needed to send the gospel over there after World War II, and we did. And now we're seeing the fruit of that. And it's spreading all around, and I thank God for that. It's just amazing thing to go and to see and to feel. And he mentioned the recession. We're, according to the news media and actual experience, we know America's having the recession thing. But what he was saying is they've always been in recession. Yeah. Sort of like some of us that was born in the poor, we didn't know it at the time. We just kept on living anyway, amen? Yeah. And that's pretty well what they've done, serving God, taking whatever God gave them and using it and spreading it thin. And getting the job done. And I appreciate these testimonies this morning, man, sure do. And appreciate all the missionaries that's been with us this week, and some's come and gone and so forth. We're gonna treat them as good as we can. I think, Brother Scotty, unless I get lost in the crowd and don't tell you here, we're gonna get the missionaries here together and go out and feed them here at lunch, so don't let them slip out on me while I'm shaking hands or something. And then tonight we're going to abuse them. After the service tonight, we're going to feed them pizza. You see, along with all America's goodness, there's some bad stuff that comes along too, amen? All right, I'm joking a little bit. That'll be after the service tonight. Now let me tell you this in 1 minute. Tonight, Brother Tom Sexton's going to be back. We're going to show the same video, it's only about 15 minutes, that was showed Thursday night. How many of you were here Thursday night? You saw that. There's quite a few hands. Now, you folks that were not here, if you saw any of these hands go up, ask them if it's worth coming. See what God is doing. And I believe you'll feel something if you watch that. And then Brother Tom will be speaking to it tonight, more than he did Thursday night. It's just, we just need to realize, thank God for what's going on right here in our little circle, but our circle's bigger than this. And it's really, as we're told in the scripture, going unto all the world. And that's what it's about. And so tonight will be the wrap up. After the last amen tonight, we will announce next year's goal, as we've been able to guesstimate it from these cards. Brother Scotty begged you to use the card. You say, suppose I turn that in and I can't give that much. Well, you tell God about that. You just trust him to put something on that card with you. And I believe that the Lord will come through. I certainly do. All right, we're going to have about an 8-minute break here. 8 or 9 minutes, and the choir will come out and get the preaching service started.